This is the New England Patriots Roster Report Podcast on Patriots.com. Don't know who got cut?
I resign.
We do. Not sure who was signed to the practice squad?
I was so wrong.
Yep, we know that too. The Roster Report Podcast is your weekly guide to keep up with the Patriots roster from top to bottom. And now, here to keep you informed, the writers of Patriots Football Weekly.
Spring is in the air. Friday, March the 21st, here at Gillette Stadium. First full day of spring, but not the first day of free agency. We are well into it, and this is another Patriots.com Roster Report podcast where we will break down all the additions of the last week or so. Some of them had been rumored and reported earlier, but we had the official transactions and conference calls this week with some of the new players. And I will start with the rundown. March the 15th. Patriots officially announced the signing of veteran defensive back Brandon Browner, the big cornerback, 6'4", 221 pounds, formerly of the Seahawks and the CFL and the Broncos and some suspensions mixed in there. He is now a New England Patriot on a reported three-year deal that could be worth up to $16.8 million, but also only comes with basically $1 million guaranteed salary for 2014. And remember, he will begin the 2014 season on suspension. Will miss the first four games. March the 17th, Patriots announced the signing of wide receiver Brandon LaFell. LaFell, formerly of the Panthers, 6'2", 210 pounds. He got a three-year reported $9 million deal with a reported $3 million signing bonus. Last season, he played and started all 16 games, had 49 catches, 5 touchdowns. Also on the 17th, the big one officially came down. Passed his physical, signed his contract, talked to reporters, turd the facility for your Irishmen out there.
What's happened?
With Nancy Meyer getting a good view, and his marketing man sent out that photo. Darrell Revis, number one cornerback, best defensive back of the era, however we want to hype him up, is now officially a New England Patriot, although he does not officially have a jersey number as of yet. They're selling blank jerseys, yes, with his name on the back.
Get yours now, though.
Number to be decided later. 2 years, $32 million. Essentially a one-year, $12 million deal. $7 million cap number for this year. Would have a $25 million cap figure for 2015. So unlikely he gets that deal. If he were to remain in New England beyond this year, it would expect it to be on a redone contract. March the 18th, Julian J.E. 11 returns to the New England Patriots. Dabbled a little bit in free agency, maybe the Ravens, the Niners, but
tough to say.
couldn't leave his dog, Tom Brady.
J-E-11.
Yeah, it doesn't really work. I think it's supposed to kind of be like a jet thing or something, but it doesn't really work.
He's a Patriot.
Yeah, I know, but a jet flies fast, quick, something.
It does kind of look like the Jets' old logo.
Yeah, it does. So I don't really get it. But Julian Edelman back, 100-catch season, returns, 4 years, $17 million, possibility as much as $19 million, $8 million in potential guarantees, $6 to $8 million depending on injury, skill, those things. A nice contract for him, a nice contract for a seventh round pick, former converted quarterback.
He's set for life.
You know, remember way back when he was catching punts and the balls were just bouncing off his face and he looked terrible. He's fallen down in and out of routes.
No, he's developed very nicely.
Now he's got some nice money.
And if he stays healthy, even better.
And they need him because, remember at the end of last season, they didn't have anybody else who could catch passes. It was just him.
Why are you talking on the phone?
Because it wasn't very pretty, and that's how you talk when you talk like that. And then finally, March the 19th, Patriots signed long snapper.
How could we forget?
Charlie Hewlett, 23, entered the NFL as a rookie free agent with the Cowboys out of Central Florida in 2012. He's a 6'4", 251-pounder. He hasn't really played. He is competition for Danny Aiken.
Well, but interesting to note that the reports were that he signed a two-year deal, while incumbent Danny Aiken merely a one-year deal. Read into that what you will.
Nothing.
It's just interesting.
It's just competition. I expect Danny Aiken to be back, although he did falter quite a bit at times last year, including when he got his punter hurt by snapping it over his head and forcing him to chase it down in the end zone. So, and that wasn't the only one. He certainly had some other nair snafus and sort of off-target snaps. But we will begin with the cornerbacks because that's what matters. Darrell Revis, officially a Patriot. Brandon Browner, officially a Patriot, adding size, talent, ability to the back end of the pass defense that they've been trying to build and improve for years now. And I think as a Patriots fan, you have to be excited. Even though you're going to be without Browner for the first four games, you now have two legitimate cornerbacks that can match up with most teams' top receivers. And I think that's an exciting way to enter the new season.
Oh, very much so. And they clearly decided that what we had been saying, too, was obvious, that the secondary was a glaring and probably the most glaring weakness on the team. Because, you know, pass rush for many years was that area, but they did what they could with what they had, and I think they got some production there. They were better last year than they had been in several years at pass rush. But as we saw in the AFC title game, Tlaib out, they couldn't cover anything.
Couldn't hang.
And they went out, and they were a little bit lucky, but they were also aggressive in getting these two guys to shore up that secondary, and now gives them one of the most competitive secondaries in the league, I think. And great moves. I have nothing bad to say about any of them.
And with Revis, you obviously not only replace Tlaib, you upgrade.
Yeah, absolutely.
You have a corner, in my opinion, who's more versatile, not just better. Mm-hmm. He can cover smaller guys. He can cover bigger guys. I think Tlaib kind of leaned more towards the bigger guys in his skill set, whereas I think Revis can do pretty much anything as a man corner. Browner is now your big corner. He may be the guy you match up. And interesting, during his conference call, he talked about how they've told him they play a lot of man here, that he and Durrell are going to match up with people. So you could look for a very aggressive defense, I think, man defense, a lot of matchup defense next year, certainly in week five when Browner is able to play.
Sure.
We should point out he can do everything up until the season. Week one starts. He can be in training camp, OTAs, all that.
Which is great.
And then Tuesday,
then
boom. Correct.
How he fits in, what
and
he
they can
bring.
See how he fits in.
Yeah.
Match him in various combinations. I know a lot of people think he could play some safety. I don't necessarily assume that.
I would rather not see that.
He poo-pooed that. Now, that's not to say you won't see him move around. I'm guessing you will see in 5 and 6 defensive back sets, yes, he's nearer the middle of the field. You could say, oh, maybe he's a safety in this, whatever. I think they will put his size and versatility to use, but he will not be, in my opinion, your strong safety, which is still an opening on the depth chart. As sort of Daron Harmon's penciled in, but I say pencil.
So yeah, right.
We'll see what happens
moving
down the road. You can take an
eraser for that at any point.
Correct.
I think you've clearly upgraded your number one corner, and I think if things play out the way I expect, you've upgraded your number two corner, because as a bigger body than, I mean, I like Alphonso Dennard and what he's brought to the table, but given the option, I'd rather have a bigger, more physical guy who can do the same things that Dennard does.
Trickle down effect.
And then have Dennard come in, and if you need him in a pinch, or if you want to have three defensive backs on the field at once, fine. Because I think he might be able to maybe, I mean, he's probably better on the outside, but I think he can probably play inside better than some of the guys who have been playing on the inside recently. So overall, I think it makes your entire secondary so much better.
You've made the top of your secondary better, and you made the depth of your secondary better.
Sure.
And certainly on the edges. Safety, as I said, is still a position to deal with. And it's a passing league, so you're working not only to stop the pass, but you want to be able to throw the ball better. And as I said, late last year, all you really had was Julian Edelman catching passes. Well, you've brought another veteran option in. Brandon LaFell played some slot in Carolina, but when you rank him against this team and stack him up, 6'2", he's a bigger receiver, probably will see some time or even more time on the outside than on the inside where you have Amendola and Edelman.
Yeah.
Aaron Dobson, having had foot surgery, if he's slow to develop, Brandon LaFell gives you another option there that maybe Brady can count on if he's healthy and he can build a rapport with him in April, May, June, and into the season. And it would look like, based on a $3 million signing bonus, he's here. For the very least, he's here this year. Mm-hmm. He's not competing for a spot. He joins, in my opinion, Edelman, Amendola, Dobson, and LaFell. To me, I put as locks.
The top four.
And Slater is pretty much a lock.
Oh,
so
sure.
It would appear Tompkins, Boyce, whoever else may be, if they're all healthy, are vying for potentially one roster spot as summer and training camp and all that plays out. Now injuries and everything happens. Who knows?
Right.
But that is, on paper, the core of your wide receiver position.
Ideally, Andy, I think, numbers-wise, it looks like LaFell and Dobson are pretty much identical. Their body types might be a little bit, but I think LaFell looks like he might be a little bit more of a solid body structure. But you basically have two columns on the outside in those two guys, and you have two virtually identical guys on the inside with Edelman and Amendola. If you can bring back a healthy Gronk or whoever starts the season at tight end, that's a pretty decent looking offense.
Certainly.
It's better, I think, than the offense you started with last season.
Theoretically, certainly.
On
You're
paper,
bringing
at
back
least.
A 100-catch guy who wasn't a 100-catch guy to start last year. You're bringing back young guys that have experience under the belt. At the very least, they are a little further along in their development. Amendola, A, is another year in your system, and B, you hope he's healthy. I know that's obviously going to always be a concern with him and his resume and track record. So, yeah, I think the passing game looks potentially better now than it did last year when you had the wide receiver overhaul and you had, obviously, the issues at tight end.
And it's balanced, too. I mean, I'd rather have a bigger guy who's supposed to be on the outside be on the outside as opposed to an Amendola or an Edelman who
played 51% of the time on the outside.
Yeah, that was forced on him. That wasn't the plan. But I'd rather have that. Because that's the way it's designed, and that's what the skill sets are meant to be. Again, it depends on all if they're healthy and all those other variables that we can't control. But on paper, it looks very promising.
We're not the homer that Fred Kirsch is, but we can tell you, in a passing league, the pass defense looks better and the pass offense looks better.
Yeah.
Only a good thing to say in March.
And
early in the process.
What about the rumors that we've heard this week that we debated about?
Rumor has it that the Patriots inquired about another pass catcher, a star pass catcher, a diva, DeSean Jackson, the Pro Bowler, had 1,300 yards, 80 catches, his best season last year. Also has some issues where he complains for the ball, dogged it to get a contract, was robbed and there were guns in his house.
And nobody's perfect.
But DeSean Jackson may be available. The Eagles are at the very least listening to phone calls about DeSean Jackson. Reports indicate that a third-round pick might get the trade done. He has $10 million salaries essentially over the next 3 years. 3 years, $30 million left. But obviously salaries can be negotiated, cut, redone. It's an intriguing name at the very least. He is a playmaker. You cannot take that away from him.
No.
I believe 17 yards per catch over his career is the average.
That's pretty good.
That's nothing to sneeze at on a team that has a lot of Edelman, Amendola types that are down around 10, 11 yards per catch.
Yep.
But yes, that's the make your case debate on Patriots.com today.
Boy,
go on over and vote.
Yeah, Paul, you made some good arguments. Paul Perillo did a tremendous job.
Well, Paul
job,
loves
though.
Him. Paul's Boy, a big really DeSean does. Jackson fan. He likes playmakers. He wants him. So. He doesn't care about the guns or the off-field issues or the dogging it or any of that stuff. Paul loves him some DeSean Jackson. Another rumor, or we've been trying to create a rumor. There hasn't really been a rumor. Jared Allen is supposedly going to decide this weekend. Made his second visit to Seattle late in the week. Certainly looks like Seattle is the front runner to land him.
But
five teams.
There's still time.
There's still hope. But hope is dying a little bit, and my guess is by the time we get back here next Friday, hope will be dead, and he'll be on another team.
And just one last thing, too, to tie into last week's podcast where we were talking about rumors about Vince Wilfork. There still has been no...
Nothing's happened.
No movement there. There's been nothing to report. There's been...
And we're good at reporting nothing.
Well, yeah.
We are the best in the business at reporting nothing.
And, oh, by the way, speaking of nothing, still haven't heard one peep of news about LeGarrette Blount.
Nope.
Are you surprised?
Nope.
At this point
no,
in free
I feel
agency?
Like he's a second tier. The position has become second tier.
Yeah.
And he's not exactly the top of the position. You know, you have Maurice Jones-Drew out there and some other names. And some guys are starting to re-sign. My guy James Starks went back to the Packers on a very reasonable deal. Blount, to me, you'll start to hear something percolate in the next couple weeks as the second and third tier of free agency begins. But the Patriots have been very active in the first tier. As we said, Darrell Revis, Brandon Browner, Brandon LaFell, a lot of Brandons.
Couple of Brandons.
A lot of Brandons. Julian Edelman, and don't forget, I would be remiss if I didn't find the release that says Charlie Hewlett is the new backup long snapper. We don't have a starting tight end, but we have a backup long snapper at this point.
He
should have
signed with the Packers. Then it could be Hewlett Packer.
Okay, that's going to do it for another Patriots.com Roster Report podcast. That's the comedy from Eric Scalavino that you can only get here on PFW. For Eric and myself and Paul Perillo, who's watching basketball, we will talk to you next week. Peace out.
This has been the New England Patriots Roster Report podcast from Patriots.com. Log on anytime for more news and more podcasts from your favorite team, only on Patriots.com.